Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. If I could get some help passing out the registration booklets, and if everyone would please register your attendance with us. If you're the first one to sign the book, if you would put the date, which is July 25th and 10:15, up in the corner, we would appreciate it. Do we have any first-time visitors with us this morning? I can't recall if he's first-time or not, but my father-in-law, Fred Teague, is back there. Has he been here before? Yes. Do we have any other first-time visitors to my left? The center section, any first-timers? Section to the right. We welcome everyone. Moving to our announcements. Announcements are printed in the bulletin. We ask that you take the time to look over all the events going on this week. Do we have any announcements from the congregation? Do you have anything, please? Do you have any announcements?
Nursery worker, that is a job to the end of the year or thereabouts, but it is a paying position. Grace Works volunteers, you see that. Our youth, senior highs and some adults, I think a total of seven, are at Purdue University. They should be getting about ready to return this morning. So pray for them. Also, the junior high. Junior high goes to camp today and will be at Camp Crystal Springs all week. So we ask you to pray for them. The flowers in the vestibule are from the funeral of Miss Mary Scales. And they shared them with us for this morning. The United Methodist Church will worship in their renovated sanctuary for the first time today, so you'll have to hurry to get there for the service today, but there's an open house there from 1 to 3 today, an open house at the Methodist Church from 1 to 3 if you're interested there.
Anything else? Any other announcements from anyone? Wade? Anything else?
I have one, Lewis.
Yes?
Next Sunday, it's printed in your bulletin, but next Sunday we're going to have a wedding shower for Hogman, Tommy Markham, here at the church. It's at 2 p.m., and we want to make it a really special time for him. He's never been married before, so he's looking forward to it, and so we encourage y'all to come out.
Moving on to our prayer list. Do we have any additions or deletions to the prayer list?
The family of Mary Scales. Ruby Finley had a good day yesterday, but she's still very sick. Pam Baker, just a allergy problem, strep throat possibly. I don't know the connection, but Bessie Adams, that name was mentioned in the earlier service.
Karen Austin.
Right.
She's lost her grandchild.
Karen Miles' co-worker, is that what you said? And grandchild was that it was sick.
Are there any others? If anyone would like to put a name on the prayer list, you can write it on the index card in the pew in front of you and drop it in the offering plate. At this time, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. This is the day which God has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Blessed are those who enter in God's name.
We bless you from the house of the Sovereign One.
Oh, give thanks to God, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. Let us worship God.
Let's stand and turn in our hymnals to Hymn 1. Hymn 1.
Give time for the choir members to make it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, righteous God, we bow before you. We come with joyful hearts for your many, many blessings. Lord, you have blessed us materially. Mr. Van Dyke expressed that in the song, and that causes us to rejoice. Lord, you have blessed us spiritually in ways that affect our eternity, and we sing about it, and we thank you again. Lord God, we're your people. You're our God. Thank you for letting us be. Thank you, Father, for watching over us, caring for us. Thank you for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. Lord, for each person who has gathered this day, we pray your special blessing. especially for our neighbors down the street as they rejoice in your goodness to them, in your guidance in their lives. Thank you for Jesus, through whom we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And we come praying as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Turn in your hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn 477. Stand up. Verses 1 and 3. Our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal. Please join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sweet Hour of Prayer. You might not have caught what Larry said about standing for the other hymn. He said we might start marching too. One time I went to sing at a Millersville Assembly of God, and their church was a lot larger than ours, but it was made like this with two doors, and you
could actually go out there in the vestibule and come back in this door. We got to singing, and they got happy, they call it, and this guy jumped up, and he starts going in, out that door and in this one, and out that door and in this one, and out that door and in this one. So if you want to march like that, Larry, I guess we could do that.
They call it a hallelujah march.
He was a hallelujah, too. We had one of the wives with us, and she wanted to know where the other exit was. She was ready to go home. 4:33, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Play that for us, please, Lord.
The song we're singing this morning is actually one that Disney made famous. It's called When You Believe, and it's from The Prince of Egypt. Part of the words are written in Hebrew, and we're singing them in our very southern Hebrew. So, but that's okay. Catherine has the translation, and I'd like for her to read the translation of the Hebrew that we're singing so that you'll understand just how beautiful this song is. It's beautiful when we sing it, but you know, unless you know Hebrew, you might not understand it.
I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Who is like you, O Lord, among the celestial? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? In your love you lead the people you redeemed. In your love you lead the people you redeemed. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing.
Come on.
children's time now with Miss Andrea. The children would please come up.
Thank you.
We express our thanks to God through our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Our offertory sentence today is from Psalms. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Will the ushers please come forward? Scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you will give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Thank you, Lewis and choir. That was really beautiful music. We'll talk about prayer this morning. The title of the sermon being, Let Us Pray. The lesson is about Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. Something that's been happening since earliest time. Prayer. What is prayer? Some have called it communicating with God. Communication is a two-way situation. It's speaking and listening. It's also twofold. The person speaking also needs to listen. And sometimes we forget that part of prayer, the listening part. One has said that prayer is conversation with God. And a conversation is two ways. Give and take. Speak and listen. Is it not? I said prayer has been going on since earliest times. There we call Adam and Eve's communication with God prayer. It was an explanation. Not sure it was a prayer, but it might could be stretched to call prayer. Or Cain's. Cain began to question God, am I my brother's keeper? Well, Cain listened to God. Whether he did what God said is another story. Noah did listen to God and responded. Was Noah's relationship with God a one of prayer? Some say that the first mention of prayer in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. After Seth was born to Adam and Eve, and then Enos. And the last part of that verse says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And some people put that as the first mention of prayer in the Bible. When men began to call upon the name of the Lord. We mentioned Bible characters Adam and Eve and Cain and Noah and Seth and Enos. Continuing with the Bible characters from the Old Testament, we find that we have recorded the prayers or the mention of prayer by certain individuals. There was Abraham. Part of Abraham's prayer was that if he could find righteous men or one righteous man, he got down to one righteous man in a certain city, would God spare it? Conversation and exchange between God and Abraham. And then the prayer of Jacob, and Jacob even wrestled with God. And then the prayer of Moses, the communication when God was calling Moses to lead the people of Israel, who were slaves in Egypt, out of the bondage to the Egyptians, and calling him to lead them to the promised land. And then on the way, after they got out of Egypt and when they got out into the desert, the people began to grumble, and Moses again went to God in prayer. So often we find Moses. Gideon was one of the judges, and one of the picture Bible stories or pictures that's printed on my mind is that of a TV movie about Gideon, and Peter Ustinov played the part of Gideon, and he was out in the threshing floor and threshing wheat, and God came to him to call him to be a leader of the certain section of the people of Israel. And Gideon argued with God, complained that he wasn't qualified and that he couldn't do it. And there was exchange between Gideon and God. Then there was Hannah praying for a child. We have her prayer. We have God answering that prayer. We have Samuel, who was that child. We have Solomon, King Solomon, and on and on. Through the centuries, God's people have been in communication with God, are in conversation with God, if you will, through prayer. That's what we call it, prayer. Luke tells us that one day when Jesus had finished praying, evidently he had gone off to a place to pray, away from the disciples. He was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of the disciples asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray. Other great teachers of the day had taught their disciples to pray. And it kind of seems to me like, and if I may digress a bit here, may digress too much, but it was kind of like, "Lord, have you missed out on something? Did you mean to teach us to pray and you haven't got around to it?" Or maybe they said, "What kind of leader is this? John taught us to pray." See, some of these disciples had been John's disciples, and they left John and went over to Jesus. And maybe that some of them were saying, "Do we really want to follow this guy? How serious is he? John taught us to pray. When's he going to teach us to pray?" And that's a lot of digression or speculation there, is it not? But John had taught his disciples to pray, and now Jesus' disciples wanted him to teach them his way of praying, maybe to see if it was different. I see this, and digress a little further, is like when one group gets something, the other group wants it. And in the church, I've seen it through the years. In the world, if somebody gets a bigger house, everybody's got to have it. Somebody gets a bigger refrigerator, somebody's got to have one. Somebody gets carpet in the house, the whole neighborhood gets carpet. Somebody gets an SUV and the whole neighborhood has to have an SUV. Somebody tears their carpet out and goes back to hardwood and the whole neighborhood goes back to it. And maybe John, these disciples said, "John taught his disciples to pray. Aren't we going to ever get to pray?" That's really digressing, isn't it? But in the church, we've seen it. One church buys a big yellow bus. They buy three big yellow buses and two of them are sitting up on concrete blocks, and every church in the neighborhood has to have a bus. You remember those days, don't you? Late 60s, early 70s. It was a big thing. The guy up in Hammond, Indiana wrote a book, "How to Do a Bus Ministry." Everybody that could bought a big bus. Praise the Lord, we never got a bus where I was. This church wasn't even in existence in that time. But many of them are still probably parked in the back 4 and the back 40 up on blocks somewhere. And that was part of the status symbol. You didn't only have one that would run. You would have one blocked up. And I still remember after we moved here in 87, there was a Murfreesboro church still running over here picking up children to take them back to church in Murfreesboro. But that wasn't the only thing. One church went out and bought a van. Church van, 12 passengers, then they even made a 15 passenger. Every church went out and bought a van. We even talked about it extensively here. Why we don't have a van? We decided we could rent one a lot cheaper than we could buy one. And it wouldn't get old because you get a new one or almost new one every time you get one. We've done the figures on it and it works better. But some people still say, "We need a van, we need a van." One church got pew cushions, another church had to have pew cushions. One church got a gym, and every church had to have a gym. One church got a steeple, and everybody in town wanted a steeple. And none of these are bad things, maybe, but it's kind of one get it, rest of them want it. One boy gets a girlfriend, all the other boys want a girlfriend. One girl gets a boyfriend, all the other girls want a boyfriend. We kind of follow the leader, don't we? One group of disciples of one man learned how to pray, and the other group came and said, "Leader, aren't you going to teach us how to pray?" I did digress pretty far there. But that may be part of it, but it's good to know how to pray. We need to know how to pray. And another place, and it's questioned whether there was two different events or whether two different explanations of one event. But turn back to Matthew chapter 6, and you'll find Jesus didn't wait to be asked to teach him to pray. He just says, when you pray. It was included in what we have as the Sermon on the Mount. Whether this is two instances, possibly so. One time they said, teach us to pray. And maybe another time he says, now when you pray. And that's about the way they're written. Very close. Whatever. Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was a theologian of the 1700s. And he elaborates on this request, or he expounds upon it, comments upon it. He says, Jesus Christ and Jesus only can teach us to pray. By His Word and by His Spirit. And we need to understand it's not just the words that Jesus says, but it's the Spirit of Jesus that comes to help us to learn how to pray. Four things that Matthew Henry said a long time ago, and I think they are appropriate today. It's a request, Lord, teach me what it is to pray. What are we talking about when we're talking about prayer? What is it you're doing when you go off by yourself, Jesus? Teach us that. Maybe the disciples were saying. You say you're going to pray. Teach us what you're doing when you go off. And then, Lord, stir up in us and quicken in us, or make alive in us, that it is our duty to pray. We need to commune with our Father, our Heavenly Father. And then, Lord, direct us in what to pray for. Direct us in what to pray for. When we go to God, what should we talk about? What should we ask for? What should we say to Him? Hopefully it's not all asking. And then teach me the right words to say. Some phrases bother me when I hear people referring to God. And I grew up in a society, though, and many of you did, where if we prayed, we were taught to pray in Elizabethan English. And we couldn't say, we couldn't approach God, or we're taught not to approach God and to say, you, God, you are good, you are kind. We were taught to say, what? Thou art good. And I still remember one of my pastors wrote an article and had it published in a church paper that how disrespectful we were, us younger folk, were being when we spoke to God and used the term you. He thought you had to speak in that 16th, 17th century British English. Like thou and thine. Thine, O Lord. We couldn't say you. How do you approach God? What did Jesus tell them? What did Jesus tell them when He taught them how to pray? How did He respond to their request to know how to pray? Well, He gave them a number of petitions or a number of phrases to include in their prayer. And if you'll notice, every petition is based on our need. The need of the people who are praying. The need of the disciples. But not only the need of the disciples, our need also. When you pray, He says, say this. We have that need to say, Father. We have that need to say, Father. Matthew's version, it's our Father. We have the need to know that we have a Father, somebody who would watch over us and take care of us, do we not? He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. And that's teaching us to acknowledge God as holy. Hallowed is another word for holy. Holy is something that is not common, something that is special, something that is set apart for God's use. God is not common. God is far above us. It is said of Him, He has said of Himself, that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Different than us. Mightier than us. Greater than us. Holy. Holy is your name. Or hallowed be your name. We were taught as children and possibly in our praying of the prayer, hallowed be thy name. We still use that old English a bit, do we not? So when you pray, approach God as Father and acknowledge or recognize and acknowledge that His name is holy. It's not a name to be taken lightly. Not a name to be spoken lightly. Not a name especially to be spoken in a curse word. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. He taught us to pray for the kingdom of God to come. Matthew's version says He taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Luke just says, in Luke's account, it just says to pray, Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God come. That God be in control. That we be God's people. That we be His subjects. And that He be the King. If it's the kingdom, He is the King. And then give us each day our daily bread. That's a recognition that even bread comes from God. We think, oh, that we earned this bread. But if God withholds the rain for a few days, what will happen to the wheat or the corn or whatever it is that we make bread out of? Give us each day our daily bread, an acknowledgement, a recognition, and a submission to God. God, we're indebted to You even for our bread. And then we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, have we not? And He tells us when we pray to ask for forgiveness of these sins. And that tells us that forgiveness is available to us. Forgive us our sins. King James Version and Matthew's account, King James, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Luke says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That's teaching us, if we expect to be forgiven, we must be forgiving. We must be forgiving. Matthew, his account of Jesus teaching the disciples to pray, is followed up by an extensive, elaborate explanation of the importance of forgiveness. Yes, God's forgiveness is conditional. If we're not willing to forgive, He don't forgive us. And this, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. How many have been tempted already today to do something that was wrong?
been tempted to do something that was wrong? How many have been tempted not to do something that was right? We call them sins of commission and sins of omission. If we have omitted doing something, or at least been tempted to do something, or to not do something that was right, we know that something needs to be done, and it would be right to do it, and we were tempted not to do it. How did we come out? Did we just not do it? Or did we go ahead and do it, though we were tempted not to? Lead us not into temptation. And then, if there was no actual thing to do that we were tempted to do, or nothing that we were tempted not to do that we ought to have done, what about our attitudes? Our sinful thoughts. Have any of us had been tempted to have thoughts, unrighteous thoughts, this day? And probably we have. Possibly. So lead us not into temptation. So what to pray? Father, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come. You be the king of our lives, my life. Give me daily bread. Lord, not enough for a lifetime, not enough to store up for 5 years down the road, just enough for today. Now, Lord, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Look at verse 5 through 10 now, if you will. This was still in response to the request to be taught to pray. Jesus didn't just give them a prayer. He gave them an explanation of prayer, kind of told them a story. Now, they may not have wanted all of this. Sometimes when people ask me something, I'll start telling them and go too far, and my children were bold enough to say, "Daddy, we didn't want to know all of that." But I say, "Well, I think you need to hear it." Am I being Christ-like when I do that? I don't know. I don't want to claim that even. But verse 5 through 10, Jesus teaches us to be persistent in prayer. And we've spoken some time ago on the passage where the friend comes at midnight and wants to borrow some food because he has a guest who has come and there's not enough food in the house. How does he get food? By being turned away and going to the next door? No, he keeps knocking. He said, "I gotta have some food." And that's teaching us to be persistent in prayer. If God does not answer our prayer speedily, He will in due time if we continue to pray. And some people may sit around and say, "Well, God knew I knew it already. If He had really wanted me to have it, He would have given it to me." Whatever it is that we need. But He has taught us here, Jesus has taught us here, to go back and ask again. Maybe to show that we're really serious about getting whatever it is. If it's forgiveness, or if it's help, or if it's daily bread, or if it's for Him to be the king of our life. We may have to be persistent in our prayer and go back and ask to convince ourselves that we're really serious about it. You know, sometimes we can just ask for something. "Lord, I want your kingdom to come, and I want to be a part of your kingdom." And if we never talk to God about it anymore, how serious are we? We go down the road somewhere, and 5 years later, God reminds us, "You wanted to be a part of my kingdom. Where have you been?" And you say, "Oh, I forgot." So He says, ask, seek, and knock. Show you're really interested in getting, receiving, gaining from God what it is that we need. He uses the illustration of bread to feed a neighbor. But it could be forgiveness. It could be for God's kingdom to be known in your life, and hence God to be your king. Verses 11 through 13. These verses teach us about our Heavenly Father. What kind of Father is He? A good Father. He said, even evil fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. Even evil fathers will not give scorpions to their children or snakes to their children. They'll give an egg if they ask for an egg, and they give bread if they ask for bread. They won't give them something that will hurt them. He says, our Heavenly Father, He knows how to give really good gifts. And He gives us, and Luke says, the Holy Spirit. He gives us Himself. The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? That's Jesus in the Spirit, right? He departed this earth on the Ascension Sunday. He ascended on a cloud with the promise to come back, but also in a physical form. But until He comes back in physical form, He had promised to send His Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, to be with us. Read about it in John 15, 14 and 16. 14 and 16, but then the connecting chapter is 15. The promise of the Holy Spirit. And He says that He will give us the Holy Spirit when we ask Him. Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit helping us when we pray. He says sometimes we don't know how to pray. And what happens? If we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit comes and prays for us. So He gives us His Spirit to abide in us if we ask Him to help us in our even in our prayer life. By His Spirit, we are brought to know God. We cannot know about God of our own understanding. It's His Spirit has to reveal these spiritual things to us. Paul wrote that to the Corinthian Christians. By His Spirit, He helps us to know ourselves. He helps us to see ourselves as we are, sinful people, before a holy God. By His Spirit, He leads us to repent, to turn from our sin, to cast off our sin, and believe in Jesus as our Savior. By His Spirit, He helps us to believe in and love Christ. More than a giving parent, more than a loving parent, Jesus is ready to give good gifts to His children. The number one gift being the Holy Spirit. What to pray for? Acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge His greatness. He is our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name, Father. Not just an earthly Father, Heavenly Father. Holy is His name. God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. That's what we say in the Creed, is it not? Maker of heaven and earth. And He made it all from nothing. That's amazing, isn't it? God took a handful of nothing and made it all out. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Quite a guy, isn't he? But forgive me for referring to him as just a guy. He's more than a guy. He's more than the man upstairs. Made it all from nothing. That's what creation means. He took some... After He got the earth out of nothing, He took a little dust. He had made something. Took a little dust and made man. Then out of man, He took a rib and made a woman. Quite amazing, isn't it? But He started with nothing. Void. Without form. That's the God that we're talking to in prayer. Pray for His kingdom. Pray for daily bread. Pray for forgiveness. According to our forgiveness. We really can't ask to be forgiven and expect God to forgive us unless we have forgiven ourselves. Pray for strength to resist temptation. A Nashville preacher this week wrote about prayer. A preacher of another denomination. I get his newsletter, so allow me to share it. Prayer. He's the one that called prayer conversation with God. communication with God, conversation with God. He says it's one of the most profound mysteries in Scripture. And at the same time, it's one of God's simplest gifts. The greatest gift, the simplest gift that we have, but one of the greatest mysteries. How you and I can talk to the divine. How you and I can talk to the Creator. Sometimes we find ourselves without words in the presence of God, and that's when Paul says, when we're without words in the presence of God, when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Holy Spirit helps us and comes and prays for us. Sometimes we decide, because God is God, and we always meet Him at church, and we have on our best clothes there, and we on our best behavior there, and we're in front of our Sunday school teacher there, and we want everything to be right and good, and we'll never think of saying a curse word around church. So because of the way we approach God or see God, perhaps because He is so great and marvelous, we often decide, or people often decide, maybe we escape this, but not likely. We often decide that there are all kinds of conversations and all kinds of subjects that are not acceptable to be included in our prayer. There are certain things we just can't talk to God about in prayer. That's what we decide sometimes, right? We wouldn't want to bring that up to God. Is that right? That's what my friend says. It's kind of like our need for political correctness. You know, certain things you just don't say in front of God. There are boundaries that we place on our conversation with one another. And sometimes we do the same with God. Much of what happens to us and through us is our problem, though, not God's. So we just don't want to bother Him with it. They're unspeakable before Him. The writer says, I have come to believe that the only conversation available to us where nothing is out of bounds, no subject is politically incorrect, that is a conversation with God. What he has discovered, and I think he is so right, that we can talk about anything in God's presence. He's really the only one that understands. And the situation is, he already knows it anyway. If he knows all about us, if he knows our thoughts, he already knows us anyway, does he not? Nothing is out of bounds to him. No subject is incorrect. He can listen to whatever we have to say. And he is willing to. In Psalm 88, the psalmist is complaining before God. We've got the example. In Job's life, Job kept complaining before God. He brought his anger and his doubts before God. Nothing was off limits. And nothing should be off limits when we go to talk to God. Those things which others call insignificant, and are sometimes insignificant to us, are very significant at a particular moment. There are rules in every other conversation that we have. Topics and attitudes that are out of bounds for one reason or another. But the one listener who can handle whatever we have to say is the one who longs to forgive us, to redeem us from ourselves. And the only one who can really cut off this line of communication, or the only one who can squash the conversation between us and God, is us. God is capable of listening to whatever we need to say to Him, or even whatever we think we need to say to Him.
What about your prayer? Who can rightly pray the prayer that Jesus taught? Those who trust Jesus. And He's always inviting us to trust Him. Trust Him as our Lord and as our Savior. He's the best friend that we'll ever have. I want you to take your hymn book and turn to 435. Take your hymn book and turn to 435. And this is the closing thought for this sermon. 435. And we're going to sing about it. What a friend Jesus is. All of our sins and griefs to bear. Everything, take it to the Lord in prayer. Then in the other line it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear because we will not take certain subjects to God in prayer. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our refuge. So let's take our situation to Him in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield us. We will find. Somebody did a survey of favorite songs. This came out on top, or near the top. That was done a few years ago. And let's stand together and sing this favorite song. Well, let's not just sing. Let this be the last point of this sermon this day. One in three, man. One in three.
I think so.